The Witch of Eye, Tudor Rose, Book 2, written by Mary Griffith and read by Kelly Clare.
Prologue. Early summer, 1435. It's going to be beautiful. As her husband helped her to alight from the royal barge onto the landing stage, Her Grace the Duchess of Gloucester paused for a moment, shielding her eyes against the sun and looking around her. A short distance away from the riverbank, she could see workmen clambering about on the wooden scaffolding that clad the front of a charming manor house. A broad, winding path led up to the entrance. "Such a heavenly spot," she murmured. "Here, at the water's edge. When the building work is finished, it will be the most beautiful house on the Thames." "It will be the most beautiful house in the whole of England," said Duke Humphrey. "At least, that's my intention, though I dread to think how much money I have already spent on it." "It will be worth every groat," his wife assured him. They had journeyed downriver from the Palace of Westminster to inspect the improvements being made to Bella Court, the manor house at Greenwich that the Duke had acquired on the death of his older brother, King Henry V. At present, the building was modest enough, though it benefited greatly from its picturesque setting on a gentle curve of the river. Weeping willows dipped their long tresses into the water, while graceful swans, with downy little cygnets perched snug and safe on their backs, glided serenely on its sunlight-dappled surface. Eleanor smiled as she watched. There was beauty in motherhood throughout the natural world. Stepping on dry land, she tucked her hand possessively under her husband's elbow, and they began strolling towards the house, their attendants following in their wake. "Poor Henry," said the Duke. "He was really looking forward to taking his ease here, resting and celebrating his victories. He saw Bella Court as a place where he could relax completely." "He didn't have much opportunity to do that," said Eleanor. "No, sadly he didn't," Humphrey agreed. "The price of his success was that he was forced to spend most of his time in France. With you to help him in subduing the French," she was quick to point out. "I could hardly do otherwise. After all, he did save my life at Agincourt. I'll never forget that." "Of course. But do you know, Humphrey," said Eleanor as they walked, "I think it's a pity that Bella Court is such a dull name, because it certainly won't be a dull house, not after we've moved into it. Could we change it, do you think? Perhaps we should give it a French name to honour your brother's memory." "That would certainly be appropriate," he agreed. "Maison Agincourt, perhaps?" "Oh no, Agincourt was the bloodiest of battles, despite Henry's great victory. Our house won't be a place of confrontation. It will be a house where everything is agreeable, enjoyable, pleasing." "Pleasing to all the senses." Said Humphrey. "La Plaisance would be better." "Oh, that's a delightful name," Eleanor exclaimed, stopping briefly to hug his arm. "It's perfect." "Yes, isn't it?" Humphrey said, pleased with himself. "So come, my sweet. Let us explore the many delights of our new pleasure palace and see how everything is coming along." "I'm so excited about this, Humphrey. When does the architect expect it will be finished?" "We've made ambitious plans," Humphrey said,